Dave Pezzo joining us, the Pezzo Center. Pezzo. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you, sir?
Not bad. Last time I saw you, we were at the Lincoln Day thing with the Republicans.
That was fun.
I guess it's nonpartisan. They told me that after my speech, but I was good about to say, you know, my plus one Paulette Jordan wasn't there. Yeah. Any libs here?
But get out now.
Right. They kind of curtailed my speeching.
Pretty much half of it was tossed, huh?
Right. Exactly.
You did a good job. That's got to feel a little uncomfortable, all those high officials out there.
Well, you were highfalutin hanging out with all the big muckety mucks.
I got to tell you, that was fun. That was really awesome. As we were talking about, you know, being able to visit with the big five in Idaho is pretty rare. It's all having the same room without thousands of people, right?
Yeah, thankfully, Al-Qaeda didn't get us.
That's right. Thankfully, you got me into the green room with all of them.
Thankfully, so Kim Jong-un didn't get us either, yes.
It was good stuff. It was really, really, really good stuff. It was one of the best evenings, I thought. I thought it was just very, very positive. And, of course, Lincoln's amazing. The speaker was great. She was a neat lady. I liked her.
Doris Kearns Goodwin.
Yeah.
Well, we look forward to next year going back to that. And we're going to invite more of our friends and listeners and such. But we do recommend it'll be, what, the 109th year of that.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
What was it? The oldest one west of the Mississippi.
Exactly. All right, Dave Pezzo, let's get to business.
Business, okay.
The president says that if Kim Jong-un is a good little rocket man, that North Korea could be an economic powerhouse. You buy that?
Well, they could. Certainly, most certainly comparably to where they are. It would take nothing to actually feed his people. But they are in a good location. You think about where they are between Russia, which is not exactly a booming economy, but it's certainly booming compared to where they are, and China is a booming economy. So there's no reason not to think that they could do well if they got their act together.
Boy, that would be tough, though, because you remember, and you've got some miles on the odometer, just how tough it was for East Germany to merge with West Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we're not even talking about a merger, but South Korea is such an economic powerhouse.
Yep.
Like, if you want the future of internet, go to South Korea. It's like 10 times faster than what we have here. It's embarrassing.
Well, yes and no, Kevin. We're kind of stuck with, we invented everything, and so we're stuck with all of the old grids and everything. We have to kind of move to replace them over time, where these countries that have developed more recently, or in the case of South Korea, also very, very small countries. So it's a lot easier than from coast to coast to do what they've done.
I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you the score.
No, you just don't. It's not an excuse thing, man.
I don't know, Dave Pezzo.
You're embarrassed for the whole United States. I heard you.
I don't know, Dave Pezzo. So when I start hitting this, you start smacking me back. So all I have to say is Samsung, you know.
Right.
That's South Korea.
Oh, no, okay. And I'll just say Apple, Google, Amazon, Netflix.
Right.
Netflix is probably in Korean.
Sure, but doesn't Apple have like majority of their plants in China or something like that?
They do.
If they don't, I'll just make that up.
Well, you're right on that one.
All right, Dave Pezzo joining us here. Before we talk about the local story, the local news, because it's just getting crazy. I digress. I have one of these bots. You ever have these home bots that these people send to you? I know. I have done a poor job of setting up this segment. Let me try this again. KIDO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM, 580 AM. Dave Pezzo, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, host of Money Matters. Saturdays 8 to 10. So every month or every couple months from my, I guess, the mortgage company,
mm-hmm.
but they don't own the mortgage. They were the broker. They send me this thing called this home bot and how much your home is worth.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's fascinating. And it really says, Kevin Miller, you need to start paying more principal. You need to start listening to Dave Pezzo. You paid all this money, and like only this percentage of it is really in principal, and the rest has been in interest. Then it goes on to talk about that if you did an Airbnb with your house, that if you rented your house, that if you wanted another house because of all this magical equity going on. But it's fascinating to me. So a few months ago, let's say 4 months ago, my house was worth X.
Okay.
And now magically, the same house with a brand new heating and cooling system, thanks to Diamond Heating and Cooling, has lost like $40,000 in value. No, I'm not a ghetto fabulous person. I live in an HOA in Star. Hmm. So how does something fluctuates so much on that?
Right.
Is it the whim of an algorithm, or is just somebody going, well, winter is not a good time for selling homes, so we're going to drop the value down.
Right, right. And probably values are falling just a little bit, Kevin. What I would compare it to is a phony number that you never would have gotten 4 months ago, right?
Right.
You never would have got that number because they were just anticipating.
No, I think I would have gotten that number.
Oh, but you don't think you'd get it now, do you?
I do.
You do?
I don't believe the bot. So there goes the credibility of the segment. But we have people here that are just moving here.
Yeah.
They bid $20,000 over homes, well, in your beloved Boise.
Yeah.
And they're getting beat out. It's still a bidding war going on with the homes.
In some. I've got one sitting next to me that's been there for a year now.
Do they know who's the neighbor?
Yeah. Yeah, they're Californians. So we're happy that they're moving on.
Right. Well, we'll probably be replaced by more.
Well, very, very possibly, Kevin. But anyway, I know that there's been some weakness in some areas, and it depends on of course, what dollar range you're talking about as well. Because it looks to me like the low end, when I see the numbers coming through, is still moving very quickly. Anything under, lower end has certainly been changing over the years here. You remember when you could get a house in some cases under, say, $125,000? I'm not saying it was a palatial house, but you could. I don't know that you could get a teardown anymore.
Indeed. And again, the value is coming. But isn't that ruining things?
Ruining what? You mean that the property values are going down or up? You mean up too much?
Right. I mean, people are complaining that their taxes are going up too much, that affordable housing is a crisis.
Yeah.
You talk to any mayor here in the Treasure Valley, they will tell you that affordable housing is a crisis. Then you have people, wanting to build apartments and condos, and then people are complaining about that.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, your Boise is now little Portland.
Well, I understand, and it is. And, I've said that for a long time, that my Boise is gone. It is gone, and this is the greatest city in the country, but the old Boise, which was even greater in my mind, is gone. It's gone for good. And but the problem that we have is a pretty good problem. It's a first world problem. One of growth, one of jobs, one of opportunities here is not exactly something to cry about. And we human beings complain about everything. It doesn't really matter if everything was flipping perfect. It wouldn't make any difference. Everybody would find something that was wrong with that perfection. And the idea that they're building too many apartment complexes, of course, is that a really first world problem? Of course not. It's not. This is not a huge problem. As far as for affordable housing, we're still very affordable, comparable to any big city in the country. So that's why I believe people will continue to move here in droves. It's not going to become more affordable. It will become less because we're going to continue to grow because we're that attractive.
Now, why are we so attractive? Is it because of our traditional conservative values, or is it because of our affordable cost of living, or is it because people want to ski in the mountains and golf, within, the same day?
It's that, I think, lifestyle. It's also that amazing people like you, Kevin, live here. And that's why.
Because, it depends on who you talk to.
Well, this is true. If you when you are coming out of your bunker,
right,
then and engaging with people, they just say, "Wow, that guy is amazing," and I'm moving here. And they do. And I actually think it is part of it. And that's part of what you've been talking about: is are we losing that where people are really, really nice? Boise nice is nice. We are nice. We are losing it as far as your property taxes. You're quite right, Kevin. We've gotten completely out of control. I can only talk about Boise, and particularly downtown Boise. But even my house, the mill rates are off the charts. It's not just your property values going up that are affecting the property taxes. It's how much our government sucks out of us in a mill rate, and it's pretty high. So you're right. We're losing a little bit of those things around the edges, but.
Right.
Anyway, I think that we're going to keep growing.
Now, at 580-5436-580-KID, I'm going to try and lure you into my cult of controversy, if you will.
Ooh.
So we have this bill before the Idaho legislature, HB 122, talking about legalizing the hemp. And you have a lot of people, I guess the Farm Bureau is behind it, people saying it's going to be a $100,000 startup cost for the Department of Agriculture to get experts to coordinate. Then you have the hemp experts saying that you could get 30 to 40 to 50 grand an acre. Now, if that's the case, I think we all should go into farming hemp.
Right.
Back to Medicaid expansion as well. You and I talked about this, the Prop 2 on the ballot, where they said, you know, we're going to get free money from the government.
Yeah.
If something is too good to be true.
Yep. I know. It is. And it is too good. It's a sad thing. We're seeing so many things happen. We have so many people who are holding their income down, millionaires, if you will, holding their incomes down so that they can get free medical care. And that is a new strategy. And I'm not putting those folks down. I'm just saying it's just that's the a ridiculous function of our tax code. And the idea that we can't figure out something to do about health care except just go ahead and figure out ways to have magic fairy dust thrown all over it. It's just paid for by sure. The government. That's not us. We're not the government. It's just this magic thing out there that pays for us. And that somehow is addressing the problem. It's not addressing the problem. It's not even a Band-Aid. It's another absurd overreach of government. Unfortunately, we've got to solve the problem. It's not so much that this is such a horrible piece of legislation. It's just this horrible idea that we're not fixing the problem.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about Medicaid expansion, what it means to Idaho businesses and your retirement savings and the like. And coming up next, one former candidate for governor, you know him.
I do.
Good friend of yours. Has a solution for the healthcare crisis. We'll talk about it next with Dave Petzo on KIDO Talk Radio. Dave Petzo joining us here at KIDO Talk Radio. Catch him Saturdays 8 to 10. Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So it's so funny. We have some of the Democrats, before we get to healthcare, some of the Democrats actually cheering for the economy to go bad. I'm watching Meet the Press. Now, you were in Reno over the weekend. You were having a good time, but I was working for you.
You know, who are you?
When people say, Kevin Miller, you're always working. Yes, flipping from Meet the Press to This Week to Fox News Sunday.
Whew. Wow, you must be exhausted.
It is a tough life. It is a tough life. But you had one of the former senator from North Dakota, South Dakota. The Dakotas, they're all the same, except you have the good Dakota and the bad Dakota. But regardless, saying, well, you wait till the economy. It's not going to be the same next year. I'm going, she's rooting for economic collapse.
It's absolutely true.
Crazy.
It is crazy. They have lost their collective minds. What kills him, I think, in this case, Kevin, is that fundamental economics are government is horrifyingly bad. I mean, not a little bit okay a little bit bad. They are horrible for everything. So the more we have of government, the worse the economy is going to be. And they simply can't accept that. I mean, that's a fundamental tenet. You can tell me that my belief is I don't care about the economy because I care more about these other issues. That's fine. It really is. That would be a political belief, an honest sure. belief. But the idea that I have this new Green Deal, for example, I'm just saying, you know, we all know right. that's absurd, but it is the same idea that somehow the government that can't approve, have enough permits to approve a high-speed train from, Las Angeles to San Francisco. In 10 years, they can't get the permitting done, let alone laying one track, is somehow going to retrofit the entire United States and figure out some kind of thing. And now, don't worry, though, Kevin, it's going to create literally millions of new jobs. Not destroy jobs. We're going to create new jobs. And so it's like this is some kind of weird fairy dust that we want to imagine. And then through all this, we'll have social justice because don't worry, there won't be any corporate welfare. There won't be any issues. Everything, as long as we have the right committees deciding how much a librarian should make versus a terrible billionaire guy over here that created a cell phone. This is insane. And yet this is really the total narrative that we're always talking about. It is a real problem, I think, with millennials, that there's no history here. There's nothing taught that government absolutely takes. It does not contribute to the overall economic development. It takes away from it.
Kevin Miller, Dave Petzo here. So we're talking to Tommy Ahlquist. You remember Tommy Ahlquist, right?
I do. I've heard of him.
Right. Tommy Ahlquist and I, we had him on last week at this time, and we were talking about hospitals. And do you believe that we need, you know, smarter, at least that's what Tommy Ahlquist would say, smarter hospitals when it comes to competition?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that you could write reviews, you could find out how much something would cost before you would jump in. Do you think that would be a good thing?
That's a great start. What to me, what I just heard, the beauty that I heard there was – there are solutions, whether it's not, you know, do we need reviews? Of course we do, but that's not going to solve the problems. But the idea that people are involved in their own care, that are saying, no, I've heard bad things about this hospital or good things about that one, when there actually is data out there to look at for people. These are market solutions, and that's the magic or beauty of what I just heard Tommy saying. And so I'm very, very happy to hear that. I think there are great solutions out there.
Well, as we grow, of course, healthcare is a concern, and you have a lot of great hospitals here, you know, but sometimes, regardless of where you go, it's a take it or leave it mentality.
Mm-hmm. It is. No, it is. Yeah, you're absolutely. You're sitting there and you are completely at their whim. You know, you laugh at me when I broke my leg not going in that day. Well, that was because they were going to run, you know, a battery of tests about something I knew I was fine about. So it's why do I make that decision when I could just make that decision or should be able to make that decision if I do choose to go into the emergency room?
You're right, but it does seem kind of crazy that you break your leg and you wait till the next day to go in.
Well, I wasn't going to sleep any better in the emergency room with people banging around all night.
Right, but you would have been treated. But you decided to do that to save money.
Well,
my man is a fiscal conservative right here. There's no government waste or, you know, excessive spending
in
the Petzl household.
It's not like the bone was popping out of the skin or anything.
I didn't know that you were a doctor.
Well, no, I'm not a doctor, and I don't even play one.
But you diagnosed yourself. I mean, how many people do you know that they break their bones and they don't go until the next day so they can save money?
And I can get a good night's sleep, or a better night's sleep.
A better night's sleep. Dave Petzl, the one, the only. So let's talk locally. What are the usual suspects? What should we be looking for locally?
Locally, Kevin, you know, the economy is still going strong, and I don't see any reason that that's going to be derailed at all. We don't really have, other than Micron, any big, large, publicly traded companies. So we're continuing to see great growth around the valley. I don't see that changing at all. As for the markets, I'd have to say that the earnings season was obviously good. As I talked about on Channel 7 today, Kevin, it's remarkable, up over 11% since the beginning of the year, about 15% since Christmas. That's the big caps, over 20% since Christmas for the small cap stocks. It's an amazing turn. The Dow has had it's been 25 years since it's had this many weeks in a row of gains. It is absolutely an astounding turnaround and another lesson. And I'm not meaning this to be in the face of people, but when people get negative, 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 negative all the time and sit and grind on the news and talk and just simply regurgitate it, they can be chased out of the market, or they don't invest. And there's literally $12 trillion sitting on the sidelines. It's completely missed this over 400% move in the market, all from constant fear. Instead of just stepping back, buy, hold, stay in the game, quit worrying so much. And it really does affect people in very negative ways. And it's another lesson. And I hope we grab it and you stay invested and quit worrying about these normal downturns.
Dave Petzl joining us here. A final thought. Is it time to take a look at artificial intelligence? I know you're high on that. Me, I'm going back to Skynet. I'm going back to Terminator. Yep. I am not down with AI.
Yeah, Kevin, it's terrifying. It's both terrifying and it's wonderful. I mean, it is something that you look at and you go, really seriously, with artificial intelligence, we're going to cure cancer. We're going to cure multiple diseases. All of those things that are pretty amazing and really just simply make life easier. And I think those things are great, but I am with you completely in the whole Skynet thing, the whole artificial intelligence in the military, all this stuff, what the Chinese are doing. If it was only us, the good guys, Americans, and sorry for the liberals that don't think Americans are good, but they are. And without that, I would feel wonderful about it, or I would not have any opposition at all. It is a little bit frightening. So I'm with you there, Kevin.
Dave Petzl, we appreciate you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. You have a great day.
You as well. You're listening to Kevin Miller on KIDO Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And of course, I'd like you to join us on the phone. It's either that or on email, dave@petzofinancial.net. And of course, our number here is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. GDP growth. Now, We don't usually like to talk about the numbers. I don't. Because number, and everybody's out data mining and talking about whatever their narrative is, try to find something to prove the point that the economy is dying, that Trump is awful, or Trump is amazing, whatever it is. But we can't deny that the economy has really done very well since Trump took office. And we were told, absolutely for sure, that it couldn't do that. It could not do that. That was a fact. The economy couldn't, this late cycle, we were told by Obama and all of his economists, who are apologists really, why the economy had the slowest recovery in all of history. Why? Well, because of the way it is. It's not the anti-business policies. No, gosh, that's being silly. It was structural well before he was in office. And that's all been unwound, and I think that's a very important point. We need to remember how well this is working. Again, not a political statement, not a Trump is the most amazing guy on the planet statement, just a fact. A fact we don't get much of. I mean, really, we don't. And even for us, we have to blame ourselves too. Because as human beings, we figure out what's wrong better than anything else we do. I mean, we look at people in history that, like, just took off in a ship, even though everybody said it's going to fall off the edge of the world. And even if you didn't believe that, and I don't know why they wouldn't, it's what the best minds of the day thought. Really? You just like take off and head out in the middle of the ocean and don't know what's there? Get in an airplane and you're not sure if it's going to fly. I mean, all these things of optimism, explorers and science and everything else. It's amazing that they're optimistic. We think about that. It's like, wow. I mean, but, oh, well, I'm pragmatic. I'm a realist. It's, you know, I'm not really a pessimist. And we fall into this. We kind of make excuses for being Debbie Downers. We really do. It's like, that's the way it is. I'm just really a realist and all that stuff. But we admire and find only invention and discovery from optimists. Only. And you've often heard me say that the only realism is optimism. Because things do work out. They always do. I mean, always do. Now, I'm not saying in your own personal life that somebody health deteriorated and they passed away. I get that. I don't mean that every little thing in our life always works out the way you want it. But the world never ends. It just keeps on never ending. All the doom and gloom, all the horrific reports, all the gnashing of teeth about everything. And to what end? It's always wrong. But it's worse than that. It's so much worse than that. It keeps people from investing in business, expanding their business. And kind of on a subtle note, they're bores too. I mean, it's just, ugh, everything's bad all the time. But importantly, we don't invest. Because, you know, it's all going to turn around tomorrow and be bad. 400% ago and 10 different, no, not even 10, 50 different things. As to why, over the past 10 years, you should not have invested.
Literally. Doesn't it ever just, well, don't ever just stop and go, Robert Shiller, you're a moron. You've kept everybody out of the market for a decade now with your little Shiller PE ratio thing and all your fussing and worrying. Thanks a bunch, man. Good job. But you always sounded smart. And when you're bearish, you're ghoulish about the future and things aren't very good, you're a pessimist. Oh, no, you're not pessimist. Sorry, you're a realist about what's really going on out there. You sound smart. And it keeps people out. Is it Devane or something like that? The actor, you know, with who? This always floors me, right? It's like, hey, I'm a B actor. I played a financial guy once in a movie. I think you all need to know what's in my safe, right? So it's the gold bugs. You know, I've used this analogy a lot of times, but, you know, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, when I started in the industry in 1980, was at 800. So was gold. How are we doing now? Gold's at, what, 1,300? And by the way, the amount of income you receive from your gold bars, coins, bricks, whatever, zero. Nothing. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is, what, 26,000? Huh. I go get a grind on that and wonder what I ought to do in the future. In spite of all the calls for the end of the world, all the calls for hyperinflation, all the calls for what if we have Obama as a president? What if we have this as a president? All those calls. It's all negative all the time. But we're not, no. We're not pessimistic. We're pragmatic. Now just look at the data. And see, and now today we're talking about the same types of things for thousands of points. Look at this chart over here. Okay, again, you can picture. It's real easy. You've seen the charts all over the place. This, where on the left, we're down here, and then all the way up to the right. It's a very steep curve. That's the student debt default, or the amount of student debt. Oh, no. It's rising uncontrollably. You want to see another one? I'll show you another one. It's in subprime loans for cars. We're doing it again, man. See this? Data mining. Hell, it's a problem in those areas. It most certainly is, has been, probably will be for a long time, maybe forever. But when we pull back and actually look at a chart of the actual amount of consumer debt there is, the amount of debt to GDP, in other words, our asset to debt ratio, our asset to our ability to pay, meaning our after-tax spendable income, after-tax after, say, food and housing. When we look at those charts, they're pretty charts. They're beautiful charts. We're in great shape. And we have been in great shape. Wages are rising. Consumers aren't going hog wild crazy, but they're certainly going to continue to spend money. Everything looks like that. But if we data mine and try to find a chart or two to make the case that the world is ending, we can find that. But the world doesn't end, does it? These guys have come and gone for my entire career and way before that. A guy named Howard Ruff, Ruffhouse. If you invested with him during the decade of the 1980s to 2000, two decades, I can do math, you would have lost 92% of your money in a roaring bull market. Thanks a lot. But don't worry about the Ruff family. They made millions and millions of dollars selling books and newsletters and scaring people to death. You see, if you're negative, and you're wrong, you're never really wrong. You're smart. You're just a smart person. You're pragmatic. You're not really negative. No. You're certainly not a pessimist. You're a realist. And you sound so smart. And who doesn't want to sound smart? I mean, I don't sound very smart most of the time because, you know, I'm just a wild-eyed Pollyanna. I just think things are going to be okay. I don't really think much. I just kind of like smile, walk around, and go, hey, it's all going to be good. Not at all true. When we think about investing, this is really critical because if you think about investing, you're investing in the future and that's it. And if we want to turn this into some kind of a casino game, like, you know, I'm going to buy in the morning, sell in the afternoon, and I just did this and trade that, and that's just so cool. You'll never see your grandkids. You'll fuss like crazy. And none of that makes any sense to me. Besides, here's the bottom line. You won't make any money. I mean, if for example, fussing and worrying and spending all of your time grinding over charts and stuff sounds like a lot of fun to you, that's great. But you're not even making any money at it. We all want to do it the Warren Buffett way, the John Templeton way, the Michael Price way. Except for that market timing part, except for that worrying and fussing part. Except for that part about, you know, well, I've been reading some stuff here and I think it's all going to fall apart. Except for that part. We want to do that except for that part. It's an amazing thing how we have the ability to take something that's so easy, twist it until it twists us into a knot. And it becomes very difficult to do. It really is confounding, isn't it? That we would take something so simple and just start twisting until it's so complex and difficult that people don't understand how easy it is. They feel like they have to go do stuff. I think I need an option strategy. I need some hedging. I need an annuity that I can't get out of that won't work. That's what I need because it's guaranteed. We grab things that are lies. We know they are. I mean, everybody already knows. You already know. You can't have market participation without risk. You can't. You know that, right? Maybe you have to understand better what your risks are, but you can't have that. You already know that. And what's wrong with market risk? This is where I think we go so wrong. You mean to tell me that you don't want the opportunity to buy something at a distressed price? You seem to want to do that with everything else in your life, but you don't want to do it with stocks. You don't want the opportunity to buy Apple down 20%? Well, of course I do. I mean, you'd buy the iPhone if they offered it 20% off, right? How about buying the company 20% off? Yeah, I like that opportunity too. Me too. I love that opportunity, right? I love that opportunity, but there's only one way you have that, with market volatility. Wouldn't you like to be able to sell your Apple someday down the road for much, much more than you bought it, of course, like that's always existed. But, and then all of a sudden it just really surges in price and gives you like another 25% that you never thought you would have or you'd have to wait another couple of years for. Of course you do. And that's the upside volatility. But this is something that's gone up 10% your whole life. Let me repeat that. 10% your whole life. And I didn't ask you how old you were. I didn't ask you the birth date, so I could run through the calculator. So the only way I'm maybe slightly wrong on that is if it's been, you know, if we're actually out there with a large audience of about 13-year-olds, which we're not. And then I think there are returns somewhere around 8%. In other words, ever all long periods of time, it's 10. Your grandparents, your great-grandparents, maybe you're 80 years old, maybe you're 73, maybe you're 51. I don't care. It's 10. That's what it does. But we are going to make a game out of it. We'll make a brand new super high commission product that people can't get out of. And since the insurance laws are like none, we don't have any, we can say whatever we want. We can talk about the fact that you can have market participation with no risk and you're guaranteed. And you go, ah, that's what I want. But don't you ever wonder why no professionals own these products? Don't you ever wonder why certified financial planners don't ever sell these products? Don't you ever wonder why people with an actual securities license don't sell those products because they have a fiduciary responsibility? A fiduciary responsibility, meaning I have to look out for your own interest, not mine, legally and, well, you know, also morally, but legally. So I can't sell you this crap. Never wondered why? I do. Seems kind of obvious. Doesn't work. At any rate, when we get fixated on the negative, 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 we miss the big, beautiful picture. We do. We miss it in everything, don't we? If we're looking for what's wrong. Oh, a pastor friend of mine a long time ago said this. I thought it was a great analogy, okay? He says, you go into a church and you're, and there can be 100 things right. But if you're looking for what's wrong, you'll find it. You'll find it. If you find what's wrong with the world, you won't invest. If you don't see what's right. If we're always looking for what's wrong. Oh, and here's the beauty of it too, right? You get to see that in your partner too. You get to see what you're looking for. We all do. We have to be careful with all of that, but if you don't see the world the way it is, and you filter it through a negative lens all the time, how do you invest? How do you not buy an annuity? How do you not think, yeah, I'm going to go fall prey to somebody doing a seminar or promising things that my grandmother knew weren't true because it is too good to be true? We've got to use our common sense. But the easiest way to do that is to take a deep breath, take a step back, and notice that the sun is shining. You've been born in the greatest time the human beings have been on earth. In the richest country with the most opportunity. God has surely blessed you. Amazingly. Now we just have to acknowledge it and feel grateful and see things in a slightly different way. It isn't all bad. It really isn't. But if we think that, it's really hard to move forward. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO, dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, that is just fine. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. All right, let's go ahead and go to the phones. Let's go to our friend Jim. Jim, how are you?
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
It's going well, very well. Can't you tell? I'm just all hopped up.
The sun is out.
The sun is, oh my gosh, isn't this great? I could already hear the birds chirping and see the squirrels bouncing around. It's crazy.
Well, let's talk optimism. Your station just had a Glenn Beck commercial. The world is sitting on a powder keg. Now, I call that optimism.
Yep, I agree with you. I know. It's hey, it's the same old thing. It is. It's a doom and gloom.
Invest in gunpowder.
Yeah, I know. Doom and gloom sells. All you have to do is listen to the commercials, right?
Yeah. I don't know. But, I recently got one share of WebTech. GE gave everybody that owned like 200 shares of GE one share of WebTech. So I see that in my statement. I'm wondering, what the hell is that? I find out what it is. So I didn't want an odd lot. So I told my advisor to buy 99 more shares of WebTech.
Because why? Because you know nothing about WebTech.
Well, I do know that they make stuff for railroads, and railroads are my thing.
And they are your thing, yes. Yes.
So that's why.
You were born a generation or two too late, huh?
Well, I'll tell you what, railroads, you know, let's talk about building the United States of America and the rest of the Americas. The railroads did it. So in the West and all that.
Absolutely.
You know, and if Apple goes down the tubes, people are going to still need ways to move stuff like railroads.
Now, why would Apple go down the tube?
I don't know. I'm just
saying. I mean, it's like saying if the car quit working, where people need horses.
Well, it's technology, and some technology runs moves things.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a lot of unnecessary technology is what it is.
Well, I think it's, you just ask all your millennials out there. They think it's very, very necessary.
You mean the ones that are into this green thing, this new green?
The geniuses into the green movement, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, she has something in common with Trump. Well, both of them have their spotlight, but who is this person? She's a young Hispanic babe that just got elected, and now everybody is listening to everything she says.
It's really kind of weird. It is absolutely
amazing.
Off the rails weird. I can't believe it. This gal was this is her past as she's a 29-year-old bartender, and now the world wants to know what we're going to do with socialism.
Yeah,
she has a
yeah.
new socialism. It reminds me of, and I'm not saying she's a porn star. She's not. But do you remember when Italy had elected to their house a porn star?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
No. And then she was going to go on and be their president or something. I mean, no wonder Italy can't ever keep a government. You know what I mean?
Well, see, for all the good things of social media, they're the bad things. The weird, absolutely asinine things that us, baby boomers, you know, we come up, you know, we were born with common sense pretty much. And we wonder what the hell is going on, you know?
Well, I do. You know, it is. It's one of those things that does seem a little bit weird. But how can you have common sense if you're not taught? It's not like young people just don't have common sense. We didn't teach them common sense. We didn't teach them anything about how America is great. And I don't mean you have to just think that America never has any problems, but the foundation of America is amazing. It's astounding. It's literally inspiring, but we stop teaching it. Instead, we teach what's wrong with America and how Jefferson, instead of being a great person and a very giving person, he had slaves. And so everything he did, you need to just now forget about. And even though the times were, slavery was wrong, but the times were that people did have slaves. And you just can't crucify people for living in the time that they live in.
Well, we need to teach kids to be more independent, to think for themselves, to think outside the box, to be able to survive if they have to without technology, for instance.
Well, at the very least, to, you know, be able to figure out how to turn a light switch on, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Well, anyway,
okay.
Have a great
yep.
weekend.
I will have a great weekend. It's going to be beautiful. It looks like we finally got through to spring. So you have
yeah.
a good weekend yourself, Jim. Thanks for the call.
Thanks much.
Bye.
Bye.
Yep, and you can hear the music. We're getting ready to roll. Hey, in the next hour, here's something I want to talk about, okay? You ready for this? I want to talk about how hard it is to invest in a rising market. If you missed this, what do you do now? You got this mountain of cash. How do you get it in? How do you get it in? Am I talking to you? All right. We talk to all of us. That's what I want to talk about at the top of the hour, and I want to talk to you. So stick around. Fox News is next, and then hour number two. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And again, of course, this is hour number two, and these are my opinions and my opinions only, not this station, broker-dealers, or anything like that. And if we talk about a stock or a sector or something like that, I might even talk about a sector later today. I've been asked this all the time, and it's did a lot of research in this area here the last little bit, and I want to share some charts and some thoughts about it. Maybe next week, you know, we'll see. But we're talking about, it doesn't mean it belongs in your portfolio. I don't know. I don't know your circumstance. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, 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 and sell, sell, sell. That is actually quite dumb. I'm sorry, but it really is. It's an unbelievable waste of time. And when we look at the track record of buy, 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 sell, 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 it's far lower than what the market did. Again, going, why? If it's so much fun, it's okay to throw money away, I guess.
But if it's not so much fun and you or it's not enough fun to override the fact that you'd rather have more money, maybe you have to find your fun somewhere else. I know we all think we're so smart. Me too. That we can outguess the market, that we're really that smart. But we're not. And there comes a time where we really, really have to grab on to we're wrong a lot. And we're really not trading geniuses. We're really not that smart. And if you're not really like running the numbers, right? And I don't mean over some short period of time or I did a really good 2015. You know, that's a really short time. Or I've been doing really good the last 3 years. Okay. I remember one time I had a guy tell me, and I mean, he really is a smart guy. And the smarter you are, the harder this is. It is. I remember him telling me, Dave, I really have this thing. I can sniff out market crashes. I can see them coming. Oh, okay. You see, when we think that about ourselves, we're done, aren't we? We're kind of done in. So we have to be really careful with that. And of course, we are the anti that, right? We don't try to trade and get overly excited about things. Okay, I get very excited about things. But anyway, a completely other topic. Now, I thought I'd talk a little bit about this. Obviously, our number here is 580-5436-580-KIDO. I'd rather talk with you. But very quickly here, this is not going to take a lot of time. I wanted to touch on, how do you invest in a rising market? I mean, because this is the thing that has nailed people for, well, all of time. How do I get in now? How do you get in now? Yeah, I mean, the market gave you a chance in December. I mean, a big, big old chance. But you know, of course, nobody took it up on it. Why? Because the news was so bad. We knew it was going to get worse. And unbelievably, the net outflows were terrible. Yep, people sold in December. They do. You didn't sell, I know. You hung on. But we do get occasional breaks. And people need to target those breaks and dive, or you'll never get in. And here's why. If you are, market's down, I'm just going to stop, take a look back. Okay, here's what's going on. Better wait. It's getting worse. The news is always really bad when the market's going down. And the negative Nellies really sound really smart. I mean, they sound right on it because they're right for this second. They're not really right because they've been keeping you out for 15,000 points, but they sound right, and they're right kind of from the peak to now, right? And also, because it's like really exciting, people are watching. So we watch more of the negative Nellies proclaiming their brilliance of how just right before the market peaked, they, you know, shifted to a negative stance, and that's how they're so genius. People are really good at talking about how really good they are. And we get this constant bombardment. So it's really tough. And then all of a sudden the market is ripping higher. What do you do now? You go ahead and get, God darn it, I missed it. Okay, I'm going to get in. How do you do that? Or how did you do that 3 months ago? How did you do it a year ago? How did you do it 5 years ago? Because if you're waiting for that big break, that big down 50% stock market crash type thing, you never get in. And the world never seems right. We were talking about that in the first hour. We talk about it every week. The world is so negative. It's so horrible. Everything's wrong, and we've got to laser beam eye focus on what's wrong, not what's right. How life is just not fair. It's just not fair. That person has more money than I do. That's not fair. It makes us all depressed. And we see the world wrong. It's noisy. It's political. It's wrong. And it is wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong that our news outlets are so biased. It's really wrong. Has nothing to do with the market. So what do you do to get in when the market's rising and you feel like you missed it? A couple of things you can do. One, just admit you're wrong. That's all. Admit you're wrong and go. Rip the Band-Aid off. Well, that's a tough Band-Aid. Because you're wrong. And maybe you've been wrong for thousands of points. Wrong. And maybe you feel like you're entrenched and getting stubborn. Wrong. Probably you didn't recognize that you're getting entrenched and stubborn. Wrong. Okay? But maybe in self-reflection you can come up to that. And if that's the case, rip the Band-Aid off. Let's move on. And don't sit and stare at the screen. Because you're going to be wrong again. Market will correct a couple percent, maybe 5%, who knows? And you'll be foolish again. See, you can't win at this. If you go all in today, then it was a bad idea. If you don't go in, it's a bad idea because the market just keeps going. Because every little movement you see as, I could have done it better, when it's really not true. The closer you look, the worse you're going to do. That is absolutely true. If we could just pull back and see a big, beautiful world of growth, abundance, new technologies, longer lifespans, you wouldn't hesitate until you started watching the news, and then you'd realize, well, I just didn't see that speck of bad news in a world of abundance. Now I need to worry about all the specks, and you start seeing the little specks everywhere. It's how we're wound. You didn't miss anything. You're supposed to miss the little specks of bad. It's abundant. It's amazing. It's challenging. It's great. But we don't see it that way. And when you get to feeling like I could have invested 15,000 points ago or 10,000 points ago or even 1,000 points ago, you're not perfect. You screwed up. And you did. And you saw the world as a big ugly mess. You got too negative, but you're a better human being now because you learned. You learned from it. It's when we don't learn or we get stubborn that the problem is. You're not stupid. You're learning. This time, just go. Rip the Band-Aid off. Now, if you can't do that, that's fine. Set up a strategy, but live with the strategy. Okay, I'm going to put in 25% now. 50%, whatever your number is. Now. And when it pulls back from any level, even if that level is 20% higher than now, 5%, I'm adding another 25% or 50%, put it all in, rip the Band-Aid. Or someday, 3 months from now, I'm tired of looking at it like a laser beam. I'm tired of letting it run my life and understanding, or I've done enough work to know that the market just keeps going higher in the long term from every single level ever in history. And I'm not going to be perfect. When that comes to you in the middle of the night, then just put it in. But until then, have a strategy. that allows you to just move forward and be right. See, it's the opposite. For example, somebody's like, I worked at Micron all these years. I got all this stock, and I don't know. It's like really going good. And what do I do? I don't know what to do. I don't know. What price level do I sell it? I mean, if it goes to 50, what if it comes back to 30? I don't know. Sell some. So you're right. If it goes up, you've got a pile left. If it goes down, at least you got some out. Sell some. Instead of standing there going, and you go crazy and drive yourself crazy. Because you're always wrong. We're wrong, 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 wrong. Because we're not perfect. And if that's the way you see it, that's the way you're going to die. Okay, one of my favorite things, all right? All right? One of my favorite things. Perfect is the enemy of great. Perfect is the enemy of great. It is. Because it stops us. I don't know if it's just the perfect. How about we just be pretty great and we get in? And we get rich. Is that okay? Or if you had the perfect hindsight, you could have got in on March 6th of 2009. And then you could have sold and squiggled 3-4 times since and nailed it. You could have bought and sold Apple like 10 times and made even more money than the tenfold increase. No, you couldn't have because you wouldn't have got them right, you fool. You wouldn't have. You can't because you're not perfect. Nobody is. Nobody is. There's no magic formula. There's no nothing. There's just this magic thing that says you get 10% a year if you play. And you stay. That's all you have to do. I swear it's not that complicated. It's not. But we make it that way. And so when you're trying to get back in, just understand what it is you're getting into. And if you can't have that middle of the night epiphany that's like, yes, I have to admit I'm wrong. And just stop grinding on every little thing that's wrong in the world. And get in. Until that epiphany happens, get a strategy in place. And honest to goodness, I don't care what the strategy is. I want to invest every month 10%. I want to invest every quarter 10%. I don't care. 7.32%. I don't care. As long as we're moving towards getting in, it doesn't matter, does it? But it does matter to you. To make it go forward. If your strategy is, well, you know, I'll just know when the time is right. You have no strategy. None. I know it's hard. It's hard to admit you've been wrong. That 200 or 300 or 400, you know, I'm not wrong because I've got, you know, I've got my 401k. Good. And what are you doing with the 300,000 earning zero? Well, you know, I got it. Okay. It's all right. Move. Put a strategy in place. Move. Move forward. Move forward towards financial independence. Life or family changing, whatever you want to call it. Giving. And finances for the future. Education for all your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Whatever it is. That blows your mind. Because that's what you can change with good investing. Fear does not do that. And you're not going to be perfect. Perfect is the enemy of great. Just go be great. Just go be great. It's okay. This is not a perfect world. You're great, and you can do this. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I need a break. We need to talk with you. Come on, there's got to be some good questions out there. Good ones, even if you don't think it's so good. If you want to know, we'll try to answer it. 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. Also, if you have any comments, questions during the week, it's petsofinancial.com. We also have podcasts there. Articles, calculators to help you with your own financial planning, and obviously just get in touch with us. Be happy to try to answer any questions you have. And if it's a great question, and they usually are, We like to bring them to everyone and answer them on a Saturday. So anyway, do that, petsofinancial.com. I wanted to mention this real quick, closing out, if you will, the thought of trying to time the market or of being trapped out of the market, right? And that's what we call it, being trapped out when you've gone to cash and the market keeps going higher, or you just build up cash because the world's coming to an end. However you think of it, and you have this mountain of cash and you've not invested it, and the market keeps going up, how do you get in? How do you get trapped? And I think we just forget this basic thought, okay? It's time in the market, not timing the market. It's time in. You don't have to time it. It just is the magic of compounding over the years. It's really quite irrelevant whether you buy 5% lower than today 20 years from now. It's quite irrelevant for how much income you're going to draw for a 30-year retirement. It really is. It's not an important point. It's just a short-term win. But these short-term wins can keep people out and not be win the war, right? We got to watch out for that. Our number, 580-5436, 580-KIDO, and let's go to Terry. Terry, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Professor Petso.
Terry, how are you, sir?
You always make this sound like a jail sentence or something. I found a good way to put this money stuff into perspective. I just got out of intensive care down at the VA with double pneumonia.
Ouch. Yeah, that'll change your outlook, huh?
And so when I walk in the door to talk to y'all from now on and say it's only money, you understand, I mean it.
You actually mean it this time, yeah. I get you. Yeah, I hope you're doing better.
Oh, yeah, doing great docs down there, you know, and it's just typical. The only complaint I have is the hospital food. They didn't have enough packets of hot sauce to fix all the stuff. But we'll get by.
Yeah, you know what? I hear this. This VA is really one of the best in the country. I've heard very good things about that. Is that what you hear? You obviously are saying that. Is that also what you hear from others?
It is, and I've dealt with some people down in New Orleans and some people in Florida and Alabama and a few places in Texas, and we have preeminent.
Excellent. That's nice to know. That's nice. And Terry, thank you for telling us it's a good place and not what's wrong with the place. It's nice.
Well, it goes back to that analogy I always talk about. Somebody's all grumpy. You knew they woke up this morning with their default switch set to the pissed off position anyway. So there's nothing you're going to do to make their day better.
Right.
So you just deal with the ones like that that you have to.
Right. That's right. That's good. All right. Well, good. So you have a question about diversification, do you?
Well, yeah, I apologize. I wasn't paying real close attention. I've been composing an email to my brother about what to do with a bunch of mom and dad stuff he found when he moved to a new house. Terrible thing, trouble to have. But I've got a few pieces of gold I didn't tell you and Erica about, and a few other things stuck away in the end of the world as we know it kind of thing. But how much? In your way of doing business and in staying invested, I haven't analyzed close enough how diversified we are.
Right. You know, and it also brings up this question on gold, and I'll try to answer that too. Is it a good idea to hold gold and as a diversification? I understand I'm not going to make a lot of money on it, but as a diversification, how much should I own? Okay. And there's always been this thought process in the world of, 5 or 10% of your whole portfolio you could put in gold. And I'm like, okay, for what? 5 or 10%. So for what? The world's going to end, and so you need to have some gold. Because that's the only thing I think it has any real value for.
Right, barter.
Right, because everything else has gone to zero. But I go, okay, so if the world's ended as I know it, what would I really want? Well, I'd want some guns and chickens and stuff like that. Not gold.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to protect my gold or my guns, chickens, and whatever. Because there is no system out there. So I'm not sure what we're actually diversifying from, right? So I just don't think of pretty metal as something that goes, wow, I'm playing inflation. It's going to go up and down with inflation and problems in the world. And it doesn't seem to do that. So I don't think it's a very good tool. And so my amount of diversification in gold has really gone over the years from, well, whatever, if you want to keep 5 or 10%, whatever, it's fine. To I don't see any reason why. And that's I just don't see any reason why.
It's so that, just another way to help you build your community around you.
That's
people
right.
That you're going to need to mind your chickens and your goats. And
well,
your,
that's true. Maybe people like gold enough in that kind of a barter system, you can have some. But if you want to keep 5 or 10%, it probably isn't going to kill you. It's just not my thing because I don't even know where in that 5 or 10% would be that I would be ever selling it. Okay? I just don't. Now, 5 or 10%, I think part of this comes from the fact that currencies have come and gone around the world, and you have a criminal element in Russia. I would want some gold, you know, shipped off to Switzerland. I would, if I was in Venezuela, I'd want gold. If I was anywhere except the United States, I'd probably want some gold, right? Because history says that's what you can go and walk away with. So I get it, but I don't live anywhere else, and so I don't find that need. Okay,
right.
So that's kind of my thought there. As far as diversification, the rest of it, nah, it's good because you really are. You want to be focused, I think, on income producing investment, growth investments, meaning dividend paying stocks that raise their dividends year after year, no matter how things are going. And that way, your income is keeping up ahead of inflation, staying out in front. And that's really the great corporations of the world, different industries, whether it's through mutual funds or exchange-traded funds, that's fine too. But that way, you are diversified. You also should be diversified globally. You should be diversified between some growth companies and some value companies, but leaning more towards value as people get older. But that's really diversification. And yeah, you could own some bonds, but I don't want to own a lot of straight-up fixed-rate bonds in this super low interest rate environment. When rates come higher, we can talk about that. But while rates are lower, you can do some adjustable notes and things like that, and you do.
Yeah, that's one of the things you're going to have to beat through my thick skull in the next couple of years here is that I'm actually supposed to use this stuff that I've saved up and invested in.
It's hard to begin to use it. I know. It's a process. All right. Terry, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Glad you're upright. You take care of yourself.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And we do have to take a quick break here. And our number is 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back after the news. Sorry to end that wonderful music, but thanks for joining us. Welcome. And our number is 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Let's go to Bob. Thanks for calling, Bob.
Good morning. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I'm currently retired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go back to work, and currently I take money out of a 401k, and I also am on Social Security. Which one of the two should I suspend or give up during the duration of my new job, which is the last couple of years?
Probably the 401k. It's more difficult to suspend or stop your Social Security. I'm not sure. You'd have to look at what the benefit would be, right? I don't know. You need to go to Social Security Department. It's not something you and I can figure out with using the internet and a calculator, right? You can't. You need to have them run the numbers and tell you if I suspend it right now and then go again. The only thing I can say is this. I got to back up one point, though. Bob, did you just start your Social Security or not?
No.
Okay.
Started it some years ago.
No. Okay. Then you can't do a redo now where you say, no, I'm 6 months in. Here's my money back. And yeah, I think you can do a 6 month. Forget we ever did that and send a check back and you can start over. I don't think you can. So the only way you can get a full answer on that, I think I'm 99% sure here, it's going to be just dial back the 401k. Okay. Your Social Security is coming in anyway. Dial back the 401k. It'll help you out tax-wise. And if you still have an abundance of income and want to do more than that, then simply, if you can, contribute back into your 401k at your job you're going to.
Yeah, and I plan on doing that.
Excellent. So you'll be not just stopping, you're going to be adding to the pile. So that's great, Bob. No, I think that's fine. Let the Social Security keep rolling.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye now. And let's go ahead and go to Joe. Joe, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Yeah. How you doing? I have a kind of an odd investment question for my future. Not right now, but I'm already planning ahead. So, you know, I heard what you said earlier about gold, and that was really good, you know, end of the world, you know, you need gold.
Mm-hmm.
But not so much an end of the world scenario, but what about like a 2008 scenario? I don't know anything about banking and how it works, but I know that one day people woke up and, you know, some of their savings was, you know, a lot of it was gone. How does that happen? What's your feelings about just getting, getting cash, getting a safe? For your house, you know, a high-end safe, and storing cash in case, I know the cash in the safe is not going to accrue any interest.
Right.
But if you have a scenario like that, you know, all of a sudden, oh, you know, your money's gone. Well, where'd it go? No, it's just gone. I mean, what the heck is that? I mean, what do you think? Yeah, I don't understand how that works.
Well,
you know,
Joe, it didn't work like that. It's not what happened in 2008, okay?
Oh,
money didn't just disappear.
You
betcha. No, what people had was a temporary reduction in the value of many assets, any asset, frankly, right? We saw municipal bonds temporarily go down in value by 25%. We saw the stock market drop by 50%, right? We saw some companies go away. Yes, if you owned stock in those companies, it went to zero. But it wouldn't matter if you had money in the bank, that stayed there. That was there. It still was there. Okay? So we didn't see currency or your savings at the bank disappear. That did happen during the Depression. Okay? That's why we got the FDIC. That's why it came about, because nobody would trust the banks after that, right? If they could just go away.
I feel like, wow, I don't trust anybody. How can they just do that? But that's, I understand, yeah.
There's a certain level. Now, Joe, this is a very important point in my mind, okay? This is a really mm-hmm. important point that we understand. If you have to have some faith that there's a future. That's all. I'm not saying a great faith, like we're going to keep growing at 3% per year forever, that we're never going to have problems, we're not going to have deficit problems, that the Medicaid and Medicare, those, you know, spiraling deficit issues, all those things. You can just fill pages worth of things that are coming that are going to be a problem, and we're going to have setbacks in the market, right? But you have to believe that we just have a future, an okay future, something. Not great abundance. That's all it takes for people to move forward in, I think, in anything in their life. You don't have to think it's perfect. You don't have to think it's going to be great. But watch what corporations do to reinvent themselves, to stay in business, to create new things, new amazing things. You know, Apple did
right.
computers, and now all of a sudden we have this amazing cell phone. We all take for granted, and we just poo-poo it. Where we're literally, the cell phone does everything. It's a Library of Congress. It's Library of Congress.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing that's never been available in all of history of man. That's an amazing thing. And as that goes, people say, now Apple's dying. We got to do something new. So they come up with a watch or whatever it is. These are the things that they're always doing, regardless of the idiot politicians talking about socialism or not, and all these things that are going on out there that get us all fussed up. So we have to look at the landscape, which says, I don't need it to be perfect. But if it's okay, only okay, then we'll get around the politicians. And I say, even beyond the United States, if the world is growing, that's the key.
Okay, so you're really not a big fan of taking a large sum of your money and putting in a safe, I mean, just the papers, you know.
I understand. No, because I just really don't want to lose money to inflation every year. It's the same reason I'll go to a different bank and go, oh, you'll give me 2% on my money? Okay, because I have to have some cash.
Every year that it's in the safe, you're losing, you're kind of in a sense losing money, I guess, right? Because it's not being It's not in that. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
there,
and here's the other thing, Joe. I'm gonna put this in a real in a way that I like to put. Okay, it's this way that you've got to think in terms of, what could I earn on the money? So let's just say in a moderate risk investment. I mean, I know you're talking about cash; it's guaranteed. But let's just take a moderate risk investment. Okay, not high risk by any stretch. Something that has decades of history. And we are going to invest, and we're going to get 7%. Now, I'm going to be precise, and I'm going to call it 7.2. So I'm going to take my $100,000 out of the safe, and I'm going to put it into an investment at 7.2. Now, here's the thing. I feel really great about having my cash. I love my cash. I love my cash. And I say, Joe, how much do you love your cash? Well, so much. I love it so much. Well, I know how much, because it costs you $100,000 to have $100,000 in your safe every 10 years.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So,
okay. So if you're willing to pay $100,000, then I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not willing to do that. So if you are, because it makes you feel that good, all I'm saying is put a number on it. Don't just pretend like it's like not costing you. Yeah, it's just a little inflation. It costs you a lot. Act like it. Okay.
I never really. Yeah. Okay. I got to think about that. Yeah. Okay, I'll think about that when I have.
And over your long life, Joe, it's 100,000 becomes 200, 200 becomes 400, 400 becomes 800.
Oh, I know.
That's a lot of cost on comfort, don't you think?
A lot. I know people in some companies. I'm not going to name them on the air, but I can't believe the amount of in the company they work for. I mean, there's people they're going to retire with like $750,000. I'm like, what?
Yep.
That's crazy. Just from, giving the company whatever, I'm not going to name it, but there's many.
Yep.
But, it's amazing that I just can't believe. But, okay, I just got to get over that, getting the safe and just, it's just not.
Nope.
That's
nope.
Just not thinking logically, and that's just.
More than cash, it all melts down, Joe, you're going to need guns and ammunition. And chickens.
Yeah, I guess, if we get hit by a solar flare and the whole banking system goes down, that's kind of an end of the world scenario. But the chances of that happening are so low, it's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean.
All right.
So I think, okay. Hey, thanks for the advice, Dave. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day now.
Thanks. Take care.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye. All right, we got to take a quick break. Dean, hang on, and I also know we've got a long-time email. I may not get to it today, so, Joe, but that's all right. We'll get to it next week. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. If you have any comments, questions during the week, please shoot those over to us at petsofinancial.com, where you also will find podcasts from the previous shows, articles, and calculators to help you with your own financial planning as well. And again, if you have any questions, we'd love to hear from you. And if it's a question we think would be of general interest, we obviously will bring that to everybody on Saturdays. Right now, let's go ahead and go to a very patient caller, Dean. Thank you. Dean from Payette, thanks for calling in.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Hey, isn't sales tax the fairest tax in the world?
I think it's one of the fairest. Yeah, I do. It's equal.
Okay.
It's what you consume. Yeah.
When your buddy Miller's off on a grocery tax, what he's talking about, the sales tax on groceries?
He is. He just doesn't want the sales tax on the groceries, not on other things, like many states have, where they exempt it.
Mm-hmm. Why? It's just fair tax. Everybody eats.
I know. I'm not all negative about that either. So I think it's one of those things where you just kind of go, all right, I'm not sure.
You let him have his rant and you don't say nothing to him about it then. Is that what you're saying?
No, to be honest with you, I'm kind of mixed on it because it's also, in fairness, it's fair to say none of us pay it, rich or poor. It's not that it's not fair if we remove a tax, broadly speaking, that we don't like. Then everybody equally enjoys the lack of a tax on it. So would I say, if you showed a card that said I make under X amount of money per year and therefore my groceries aren't taxed, that I would have to agree with you is not a fair tax. But What I'm saying is that this is, if we remove it, great. So I'm fine with it, but it's going to pop up somewhere else because the government never has enough money. It always isn't satiated. So it'll just keep sucking more from somewhere.
That's kind of my point. And for the few people it hurts, this is going to sound snobby. Okay, I don't mean it to sound that way, but a lot of those people are already getting all kinds of assistance anyway. So
yep.
It's just a way for us to get our money back, a little bit of it. So other than that, the city of Ontario turned down a 1% sales tax, and the people that turned it down are the homeowners that, you know, the ones that are footing the bill to start with. And now City of Ontario wants to put in marijuana plants all over the place to subsidize the money they couldn't get from the sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The sales tax just seems, I know everything can't be sales tax, but just about everything could.
Just about everything can. I know they have, it's similar, VAT tax over in Europe, although that's gotten carried away, so everything is so super expensive there. Again, governments never have enough. They never have enough. They never have enough control, never have enough money, never have enough money to pay off the people that put them in power. It's an ongoing problem, and it most certainly is. But I do find the sales tax to be very simplistic, and the more you buy, the more you owe. And
right.
So the more money you have, the more money you put back into the governmental system, if you will.
Right. I'm not going to be out there buying no million-dollar yacht. And also, but the guy that can afford to, just go ahead and have sales tax on it. He's doing his part because he's spending more money.
That's right. And people that build the yachts also go spend money as well. So there you have it. It's how the system works.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why I'm supposed to hate the guy that has a yacht, but apparently the politics says I should.
Miller brings it up. Every time Miller brings it up, he drives me nuts. It's like his hobby horse. Get off of it.
I know. Well, that's part of the whole gig, right? That's a good thing about Kevin. He finds a local topic to get us all fired up about and discuss. So that's great.
Well, tell him to lay off for a week, and
Yeah, well, right now it's in the news. There's no way he's going to lay off it for a week. No way. All right.
Okay, buddy. Well,
thanks.
Have a good day.
You do the same, Dean. Thanks for the call. Bye now.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
You know, it's interesting. I had a fantastic email. I want to talk more about this, okay, earlier. Joe, thank you very much. Joe says, I actively manage my cash account and took advantage of the Christmas sale, which was phenomenal. So good job. I really want to say good job because that you can when you're ready and you go, and that's wonderful. And you're up 15%, he says, in a Roth and IRA, but the mutual funds are only up 7%. Should I manage all my funds on my own? This is a big question. And also, I'm sorry, Joe, you also go on to say I've got 30 years experience and I'm not trying to time the market. Very excellent point. Okay? So, and you don't overtrade. Great point. I think you could do both. And the reason why is diversification. It's the reality is how much do you really know about the companies, the individual companies you're buying? I'd like to dive into this question more, and hopefully we'll do it next week, but I did want to at least partially answer your question. I like a portfolio that does both, okay, that you have some holdings you feel comfortable with, a small number that you can keep track of and you feel comfortable with and you don't own too much of. And when they win, you trim. Okay, you don't have the arrogance of knowing it's going to go to it's going to create $1 million holding for you. And that's fine to have $1 million holding if you have $20 million. But it is not fine if you have $1.2 million and $1 million in one stock, okay? That's not fine. That's not diversification. So you want to try to have accounts where diversification is mandatory, right? Because they're going to be in mutual funds. You have pickers of, money managers that scour the world for the best bargains. You want to have that in there because they're going to find things you can't find. And quite probably, it's a bit of an arrogant statement that I'm better than they are. What happened here in my mind, I'm guessing this, is it because there are mutual funds that are up way more than 10%. Okay? They're up 20%. If you're talking about right before Christmas, right? Christmas Eve till now, you've got many of them that are up over 20. Why? Because maybe they're in small cap. Okay? Maybe if you only picked up one or two stocks, those stocks were heroic. I have those in the portfolio too, and I have some that aren't up as much as that either, right? Because some of those got so beaten down, and you maybe nailed those when you bought them. It's too short a period to throw them all under the bus, but my best guess is if you got some more conservative mutual funds in there, and there's nothing wrong with that as a core holding. And I'm not talking about funds that only buy bonds or something. I don't want you to do that. I'm a all-stock guy. It's just that I think you ought to have stocks that produce income as well as those that grow. And they have different reasons, and that's what diversification is. So I think you can create that with your own individual stocks as well as having some mutual funds in there. But when you watch the compounding effect over the years of dividends in some of these equity income funds, and yeah, I know some of them have a couple of bonds, but that's all right. You'll get over it. I got over it. And as long as there's not much. And you watch the compounding effect over the years. It's unbelievable because what you're going to catch are some of those dips, right? So when you get the monthly or quarterly dividend reinvestment and maybe the market's down 10% and you get 10% more shares for free, the compounding is massive. It really comes ripping back. And so that's the kind of thing that there's nothing wrong with focusing on dividend payers as well. Nothing wrong. I think people miss, if you will, the forest through the trees. You just need to be in stocks. And if it makes you more comfortable to be in income producers, makes you feel good. I just had this conversation 5-10 days ago, right, with an elderly client. And we were talking about, do you think we should have some bonds? And if you want to, we could. But remember, all of your stocks are producing income. And she was like, I like that. I just like that. I like dividend payers. And everything I read, that's a good thing, huh? And it's, yeah, it is okay. Helen, it's a good thing. And it was. She felt comfortable just knowing that. And so she's not out of the market. And she's not so old. She's got to get out and put it in cash and stuff like that. She doesn't feel like that. She wants to participate in the world, regardless of her age. Literally have a guy who won't buy a bond at all. He's 101 years old. What a guy. What a guy. So you don't have to, but it can still have different direction. Income makes you feel more comfortable. That's fantastic. But be in the game. I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Enjoy this springtime weather. I think we're out in the free clear. It's spring.